number 17, our 1 Samuel chapter number 17, and we'll pick up where we left off at this morning, 1 Samuel chapter number 17. And I do pray that the messages are from these, from the life of David. This is King David series, I do pray that it's helped you, encouraging you, as you travel throughout your journey, throughout this life. Learn a lot of things about David. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart, and we've not gotten to the mix of that yet, so to speak, in depth, but we'll talk about that at some point. But once you get there, 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 48, let's all stand and read, we'll pray, and ask the Master for his help tonight. That's 1 Samuel chapter 17, and starting in verse number 48, verse number 48. Matter of fact, we'll start in verse 47 to kind of pick it up a little bit. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 47, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands." And the Bible says, "It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, and David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, the Bible says they fled." We're going to talk tonight, let's look at prevailing over our Goliath. Prevailing over our Goliath. Father, I pray tonight that whatever Goliath that we all might be facing individually, as well as collectively, I pray, God, that you give us the necessary tools to be able to prevail over this Goliath. This Goliath that has perhaps taunted us, this Goliath, Lord, that has dogged us and has followed us, that perhaps has hindered us throughout our Christian journey, and perhaps even before then. But I do pray, God, tonight we realize that there's a way to prevail, and for that, God, we'll thank you. I pray, God, you give us victory over whatever issues that we might be facing, that one that might be facing a salvation issue. I pray, God, get settled tonight. That one, Lord, that might be facing some other type of issue, but get settled tonight. For that, God, will praise you. I do ask, God, to fill the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, to guide my tongue, my speech, and my actions. I pray, God, to protect me from the outside thoughts and interferences. I pray, God, to help my mind to be stable. I'll be focused upon you and what you're saying. And for that, God, we'll all thank you. I pray, God, we'll leave tonight. We'll leave much encouraged, not discouraged, but uplifted, motivated, ready, because you've been empowered us by your Holy Spirit. And for that, God, we'll shout hallelujah. God, we love you much, and we owe you much. And I pray, God, to help us tonight. For it's your son's name we pray. If I left anything, I'll take care of that too. For it's your son's name we pray. Not a weak Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. May be seated. Prevailing over our Goliath. Every person here that's breathing has a particular Goliath that you are facing in your life. Your Goliath might be fear. It might be anxiety. It may be unforgiveness. It might be marital. It might be a family situation. It might be financial. It may be a health issue. But nonetheless, there's some type of Goliath that we are all facing in our life. And we all can prevail over our Goliath. The Bible tells us the things that happened to Israel in the Old Testament were for our examples. They're for us to not only to glean from, but also to apply here in the New Testament church. And so as we see how David is going to prevail over his Goliath, I believe we'll see some clues on how we can also prevail over our particular Goliath. Now that word prevailing that we're chosen means this: having superior power or influence, to be or prove superior in strength power or influence. Listen, we can prevail. But I want us to watch something. A lot of times we figure like, well, God, you're going to just do the whole thing and I'm just going to ride in the back seat and just take it easy. But what you'll see is a combination of not only human, but also, my dear friends, of that which is on the spiritual side, the God side, the divine side. So there's human and divine that's involved in you and I prevailing over our particular Goliath. We'll say, well, God just did the whole thing. But there's a part that each of us has to play in order to receive the victory and prevail over our Goliath. For example, go with me quickly to James, chapter number two. Look at James, chapter number two. Look what the Bible says here about faith itself. James, chapter number two. And look, the Word of God says here, we say, well, our works, our actions don't have nothing to do with faith. But that's not the truth. The Bible tells us in James, James chapter number two and verse 14. The Bible says this, God's holy word. It says in verse 14 of James chapter two, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man, watch it now, say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If, then he gives you an example. If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you, just one of you, say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful, what? To the body. What doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. David believed, and David showed it in his actions when he went to meet Goliath face to face. And my dear friends, we can say that we believe. We can say that we have faith. But if our faith is not connected, my dear friends, with action, then that's going to be a dead faith, a non-working faith. And that's straight from the Word of God. So it takes you and I to be involved in having the victories take place in the midst of our life. Now go back over to 1 Samuel. And the first thing we're going to see is the encounter. The encounter. 1 Samuel 17 and verse number 48, the Bible says this, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David. That word meet means to encounter. The Bible says that Goliath did something. He arose. That he did his talking. He had huffed and he had puffed. He had given out his words. He had done his trash talking. And now he arose. He rises up. But now watch this. I love word studies. The next word says this. And came. Now you might say, well, what's the big deal of the word came? That means he was approaching David. You're correct. But when you look at that word there involves the word walking. Now remember, as far as he's concerned, Dave, why is that boy out here to fight with me? Man, I'm going to give him to the birds and the beasts when I'm done with him. He gets up and walks toward David. Now remember, he's got his armor bearer as well and begins to walk toward David. The Bible says next, as he gets ready to encounter David, he draws nigh to meet David. But now we move to David encountering Goliath. The Bible says that David, verse 48, hasted. That word hasted, watch it, means to hurry and also means to be anxious. Now when's the last time you and I got anxious about facing or meeting or encountering our Goliath? Most of the time, we're probably like Goliath. We walking. Matter of fact, we barely walking. We doing like what's that movie we watched? Monsters University. And remember the snail? The snail's like, I gotta hurry up, get there. That's how we going, amen. We ain't getting nowhere at all, amen. Just a little inch at a time. My dear friends, when David saw that he was about to meet, he's about to encounter his Goliath, the Bible says, the Word of God says that David hastened. He was hurrying. He was anxious. And then the Bible says he ran. He just took off and ran. That word ran also means to rush. Don't you know that Goliath, man? He between 9 and 12 feet tall. And here you are. You're just a young boy. I mean, what are you doing, David? He's a man of war and battle. David! David said, this ain't my fight, though.
Yeah.
But I am a tool and an instrument. But somebody needs to, my neighbors, I wish they'd get in church. Have you asked them to come to where? Well, not my church. I mean, maybe another one. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, I want them to go somewhere and get some help. Amen. But hold on a minute. Why not you and I be the tool of the instrument, the utensil that God would use to help that certain individual? My dear friends, God wants to use our hands. God wants to use our feet. God wants to use our lips. God wants to use our body for His glory and for His honor. And my dear friends, if you and I are going to slay the Goliaths that we have to face in this world, my dear friends, God wants to use us to be a part of a victory, of a solution that will take place in the midst of this battle. The Bible says that David ran. Man, he was hurrying. He was anxious. The Bible says he ran toward the army. Like word studies. That word army, look it up. It also means the battle line. That's where, this is how you draw a line in the sand. Here I come, baby. I'm not going back up. I'm not going for somebody. I hope somebody take my place. No! David told all them. Now, they're all men of war. He said, y'all don't have to be afraid. It's going to be okay. Remember, we read that earlier. You know, David, man, you taking care of sheep. What do you know about battle? I done fought lions and bears face to face. And this giant's going down just as well. The Bible says, man, when he encountered Goliath, he hasted, he ran to encounter him. And now we move from the encounter to the extraordinary method. The extraordinary method of victory. God oftentimes uses extraordinary methods in order to win the victory. When we look at Israel, when they were leaving Egypt, and what did he do? He opened up the Red Sea. That was miraculous. It was extraordinary. When they were getting ready to face the walls of Jericho, the Bible says they didn't take hammers and all that kind of stuff and begin to hit at them and beat at them. The Bible says they walked around several times. They walked around day after day after day. Well, this is stupid. Why be walking around here? They might throw something at them. Watch out for a spear, man. I mean, walk around. And they did not know how many times that they would have to walk around. They did not have that type of information. Remember, we covered that when we was going through Joshua. But my dear friends, they were told to walk. Maybe God asked you to do something that sounds silly, crazy, and idiotic. But what does he want you to do? Do it. Yep. But when it was, no, I got to figure this thing out. I need it. Give me a map. Give me a plan. There's nothing wrong with having a plan. But my dear friends, when God decides to tear yours up and use his, hey, his works all the time. Amen. My dear friends, it might seem crazy, but what's this thing about tithing? Let's hit that for a minute. What's this thing about tithing? How do you give when you're broke? Are you broke? You got a penny? Somebody said, I ain't got no penny. Let me see if I got one. Okay. I got something. I got a dime, and I got a nickel, and I got two pennies. That's 17 cents. You can start right there. 17 cents, that was 10% off that. Don't you throw it away. Remember, that's the seed. Listen, my dear friends. You know what? That's a dollar from a dollar and, what, 70 cents? Not a dollar 70 cents. That's embarrassing. Start with a dollar 70. Then maybe God give you the $17 to tithe. then maybe he'll give you $170 a tithe. That might seem silly. The way to get is to give. Yeah. You want love? Okay. Are you giving it? Well, I mean, that's hard. Yeah. Do you want forgiveness? Are you giving it? Oh, I won't miss some friends. Are you being a friend? Mm-hmm. Let me rephrase that. Are you being a good friend? Okay. That's a little bit different. Okay. Huh? Listen, my dear friends. Hey, if you're wanting, then give. And you'll be amazed. The Bible tells us this, my friends. It's through the scriptures. But yet, we said this don't sound silly. It might sound silly. But my dear friends, it works. And God uses extraordinary means to bring great victories. When we look at back at David, we see an extraordinary method. The Bible shows us, first of all, the smart plan. Look back in verse number 49. The Bible says, and David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it. He's got a stone and he's got a sling. That's crazy. That's a smart plan. Do you really? Now, God can do that, Sharon. But think about this. Goliath is between 9 and 12 feet tall. Now, we don't know how tall David was, but we don't believe he was scrawny either. Because remember, we talked about last week. When Saul gave him his armor, he didn't say, well, this don't fit me. What he said was, this has not been proven. And remember that Saul, King Saul, was above, he was a tall guy. He was above all the rest of the people. So I'm not saying that David was exactly his height, but David was not some scrawny little, the way they put it, in, like, he's just a little scrawny. Come on now, read the scriptures. As a matter of fact, we're going to see in a few moments, he's going to take Goliath's sword and cut off his head. Now, Goliath was a big man. And we know that the weapons he used were extraordinary. They weren't puny things that he was using, his weapons. But yet David used that to kill Goliath. My dear friends, but this guy's still 12 feet, between 9 and 12 feet. Wouldn't it be a lot better if I could take something and kill him from a distance? Sounds like a smart plan to me. Instead of going sword to sword, instead of me going from the... Mike out. He's just nodded. Mike, you still with us? You still here? You a little bit here? Sort of? All right, come up for a minute. All right. I just don't want to disturb your slumber there. Amen. All right. Now, okay, I want you to come over here. Okay, stand right there. I'm going to get you at your weak point, but that's why I need you. All right. I'm telling y'all, this boy just perked up. That boy perked up. What? Challenge? Challenge? Okay. Now, see what you got. You ready? All right, go. That's what he said. That boy put it up in there. Oh, baby, come on, man. There you go, Mike. Go ahead, man. Come on, Mike. Come on, Mike. Oh, my. Oh, Mike. No. No, I ain't picking Randall. But listen. But now, wouldn't it be better to choose a different plan? And the plan that David uses is not his stack. Remember what did Goliath say? You're going to come to me with a stick? He wouldn't even think about no sling. And David runs toward him. That means that David's not like this on him yet. He had to run. He had to run toward him. And he had to sling that thing from a distance. Now, number one, this was not a toy. So, oh, he had a little toy. This was like a rifle in their time and day. Yeah. Because it was an object that could be shot from a distance. As a matter of fact, go with me to Judges, chapter number 20 and verse number 16. Judges, chapter number 20 and verse number 16. There were guys who were experts at using slings. Experts. They were dangerous to deal with. Judges 20 and verse 16. Judges 20 verse 16. The Bible says this. Yeah. Here it is. Some of y'all gonna really like this. Look at Judges 20 verse 16. The Bible says, among all this people, let's back up, verse 15. And the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities 26,000 men that drew sword, besides the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. Among all these people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Everyone could sling stones at a hair breadth and not miss. When you say that out, that means like a string of hair. That's how awesome they were. And some of these people could sling a slingshot up to 600 feet. You know what 600 feet is? That's 2 football fields. Now think about this. Throwing 2 football fields and not miss? Baby, you good. My dear friends, this was not a toy. And here we have David, who was not of the tribe of Benjamin. But I wonder if he hung out with some of them boys. But nonetheless, my friends, he takes this sling. He takes this stone. And he's headed toward Goliath. And he ain't going, I'm going to come up. He's running, man. Hey, baby. Look at his chops. I can see the boy drooling at the mouth. He about to win victory for God Almighty. Man, we need to get excited sometimes. Amen. About facing our Goliaths. And I confess, man, years ago, I mean, I don't know what happens. You get old. So I don't know what happens. But anyhow, but I mean, back in the day, I mean, it's like, here comes the devil. Come on, man. I mean, be ready. Come on. And I'd be like, today? What about next week? Can we meet next week? I mean, but my point is this. I was excited about what God's going to do. Oh, man. I wonder God, how God going to bring this victory? How God going to bring this victory? But when I find myself sharing not that excited, then that's when I do a little check, like going to the physician, getting a little health check. And I realize my faith is not as strong because I've not been feeding myself like I need to from the Word of God. That's why I'm not chomping at the bit to get in the fight. I mean, I'm thinking about like Josh. He just surrendered to preach. He ready to preach. He's like a horse that you got the little strap thing around him, and he ready to take off, you know, okay? But you know what? Sometimes after you're the priest for a while, you be like, you look out, and you see the different ones out there, you be like, oh, Lord, they want me to preach? Maybe I get somebody else. But when you're young, like, you be like, you know, give me my sword. I'm going forward to slay some demons and devils, amen? What are you saying? You get excited. You pump. When some of us first got saved, man, you did not witness it. Please, that was nothing. That was like just like drinking a glass of water. Tell somebody about Jesus. You've been saved for a while, then it's like, you know, well, I'm on the fence now. You didn't even think about that before. All you think about was God did something for me. God saved me. God changed my life. I've been delivered. I've been rescued. I need to tell somebody. Who can I tell? Let me tell you about what happened to me. They're like, oh, okay, all right. Excited. David. I like this about David. It seems to me like David never really lost that excitement of serving God. You said, yeah, but he stumbled. Yeah, he did stumble. But when he did, baby, he got that thing right. He didn't blame nobody. He just said it was their fault. It was this was fault. David took personal responsibility. Instead, what we do is we point at everybody else but us. It's their problem. It was her problem. She did it. He did it. If they hadn't said this, then I wouldn't have reacted that way. Listen, my dear friends, the Bible teaches us that there is a way that we are to react and respond, my friends, and we need to take full responsibility for our actions as well. That way it says confess, acknowledge, see it like God sees it. We have David here. Flip back over. Oh, let me give you one more on that same thought. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 2. I want you to see how this was a smart plan using a sling and a stone. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Look at verse 1 and 2. The Bible says this in verses 1 and verse 2. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag, while he yet kept himself close because of Saul, the son of Kish, whom Saul would turn against him here. And there were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left, and hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren, who? Of Benjamin. Listen, my dear friends, that sling wasn't no little toy. That was a weapon to do battle with. And David, no doubt, had learned how to use that weapon. And then you put a weapon like that, and then you put God behind it too. Like a person that can sing. That's not perfect. They can sing, okay? But then let the Holy Ghost get on them. Yeah. It's totally different. Totally different. Listen, my dear friends, you might have gifts and talents, but when God breathes upon it, it changes the whole dynamics. Now watch this. Flip back over. So we see the smart plan. And then we see, my dear friends, the precision. The Bible said in verse 49, and David put his hand in his bag. He took thence a stone and slung it. And the Bible says, and smote the Philistine in his forehead. That means right around the brow, between the brow, that the stone, I like this, sunk into his forehead. Now, the precision. When David slung that thing, I believe, this is just me now, I believe God got it right to his spot. Because now remember, he had his armor. Now, some folks say maybe his helmet fell off. Maybe he had pulled this thing, the part of it up. I have no idea. But I do know this. That thing, that stone went and hit that mark right upside that boy's head. Boom. And watch this. We go, my dear friends, from the precision, God guided, to the power. The Bible says it sunk into his forehead. I like word studies. That word sunk also means to drown. When you drown something, does it not go under? So guess what? If it had been sticking out, then maybe he could have said, let me pull this thing out of my head. That thing sunk inside of his head. It drowned in his forehead, went on the inside. And then the Bible says this, my dear friends, it sunk into his head. And then the Bible says this, my friends, that when it sunk into his head, that he fell upon his face to the earth. So to me, somebody made somebody bow down. Yeah. That's good. There he is, stressed out. He ain't done yet. Now we see, my dear friends, the prevailing of David. Therefore, the Bible says, that verse 50. So David prevailed. That word prevailed here in this verse means to be strong, to conquer. Also means courageous. David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Now, was Goliath dead? Or was he just unconscious? I don't know. But like I watch some of these movies. Yeah. Uh-huh. And they hit them people. They go down. They beat them half dead. They be laid out. And then they be like, oh, whoosh. I'm like, face it. Now all of a sudden that person gets up. They're like, ah! And here we go again. And sometimes they'll have a pistol. They have a knife. And they'll sit it right here. What are you doing? Man, listen, if it's some crazy person trying to kill me, man, I'm unloading everything. Amen. I'm not going to be going, I mean, well, I think he did. I'm going to make sure he dead. Listen, watch it now. This is all Bible. Watch what it says right here. This part here. This is what it says here. The Bible says, therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword, Goliath's sword. And the Bible says he drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head. Not only did he cut his head off, but before that, he stuck him. Maybe you're unconscious. Stuck him. And then, cut his head off. Where are you going, preacher? Some of us got Goliath, and he's unconscious. Yeah. He ain't dead. Yeah. Come on. We need to cut his head off.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, he's been dormant for a while. Mm-hmm. But it don't take much for him to get back up. Yeah. It don't take much. And then you look back and say, I thought he was dead. Where'd he come from? I thought that problem, I thought that situation, I thought that circumstance, I thought that thing that I was dealing with, that I was battling with, was all over with. But then there you go. He raised up his ugly head. Come in and cut it off. You know how you kill a snake? Cut his head off. It reminds me of somebody had a snake one time, and they were just cutting an inch at a time by the tail. Once you cut the head off, you can hardly take it down. Listen, cut the head off! And he'll stop moving altogether. It's dead. By the way, back then, that was also a way that they made sure that the enemy was dead. By cutting off his head. Because see, once your head gets cut off, that's it. Why do you think that the enemy attacks your mind?
Good.
If he can get a hold of your head, man, you walking, but you like them zombies. And he's like, that mama. No, it ain't mama. It's a zombie, amen. Okay? That person's not. Listen, my dear friends. We need to cut some of these Goliath's heads off. Yeah. Make sure that they are dead and buried. The Bible says, my friends, he prevailed. David ran, stood upon the Philistine. He took his sword. The Bible says, drew it out of his sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead. Their warrior, their giant, was dead. They reneged. The Bible says they fled. Wait a minute, I thought that if we kill Goliath, that you will be our servants. Our enemy lies.
Yeah.
Instead, they fled. And they will come back later, fight again another day. Now, a lot of these folks will get taken care of. We'll see that on Tuesday. But nonetheless, my dear friends, they reneged on the promise that the pact that they had given. You cannot believe one word that Satan says. Not one iota. The Bible says he's a father of lies, and the Bible says there's no truth in him. He is a liar from the beginning. He is a liar. You cannot believe him. What are you saying, preacher? When David killed Goliath, it also did something else. That's not what we're going to focus on tonight. That's going to be on Tuesday. It gave the people of God courage. When the Philistines started running, the Israelites came after them. Maybe you're that person in your house. To be the David in your home that slays the Goliath. And then the other folks around you see what's taking place. They say, you know what? Maybe we can win this battle. All it takes is one person. All we need is one David to motivate everybody else that's in the camp. Maybe the one in your home, in your family, the church, your youth group, your group, whatever activity you might be involved in, on your job. Maybe you're that one person that God can use, and then others will follow. It's like when you get saved. When you get saved, some of your old friends or whatever, it's amazing how some of them, maybe not right away, but some of them down the road will give you a phone call and say, pray for me. I got to get things turned around. Because they saw how you got things turned around by following God. I got two questions for them. The first question is this. Are we prevailing over, and watch this, it's going to be personal. Are we prevailing over our Goliath? What is that Goliath in your life, in my life? Are we prevailing? The second question is this. This is very important. What methods are we using? What methods are we using? The methods that we use will determine whether or not we will prevail over our Goliath. There's different weapons to fight different enemies. And of course, when you say, why just the Word of God? Yes, but you need certain parts of God's Word. Which part are you talking about? Which scripture are you talking, what are you referring to? It's very important. And last and simply a statement. The statement is simply this. We can prevail. We can prevail. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. I thank you, Lord, for this little snippet of David's life that we're looking at in this present moment. It's not the majority of his life. It's just a little snippet. But I do pray and ask God, this little portion, this little piece will perhaps help some of us, Father, myself, to overcome the Goliath that we are facing in our life. Perhaps, God, there's someone here tonight that needs some instructions, some guidance on how to face, how to handle, how, what method to use in order to fight their particular Goliath that they are dealing with. I pray, God, they come and talk to you about that issue, that situation, about tonight. Perhaps, God, there's somebody here tonight that want to come and say this. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to overcome that particular Goliath that was in my life that really was threatening me, had me fearful. But yet, God, you gave me victory as I follow your instructions. May the one come and light and say this. Thank you. And then, God, perhaps there's somebody else that might be here tonight that has someone that they care about deeply. They love them, Father, so much, and they want to see them overcome their Goliath. Perhaps, God, they'll bring that person's name, their situation, their circumstance before your throne tonight and ask you, Lord, how they can help them. What method do they need to use to help their friend get victory? And for that, Father, we'll thank you. And then, God, perhaps there's other reasons, not having anything to do with this message, that's not connected to the message whatsoever, but God, there's other reasons that some of your children to talk to you tonight. I pray, God, they will come. Father, help somebody, because somebody needs your help. And would you please, Father, please, I beg you, start with me. For it's in your Son's name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Perhaps you want to come talk to the Lord for a few moments.